is Jim Spirit. It's March 7th, 2012 at Forward Operating Base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan. I'm with a warrant officer that's a pilot. Sir, please tell me your name.
CW2 Jeffrey Paulson.
Mr. Paulson, if you don't mind my asking, how old are you, sir?
I am 56 years old.
I have finally met somebody that's my age. What month were you born, sir?
September.
Okay, you're...
That ma- older.
No, I'm born in August. That makes me still the oldest by 1 month. Very good. Wow, that was a close one.
I found somebody older than I am out here.
You're with the Minnesota Guard, is that correct, sir?
Yes, I'm actually from Wisconsin, but I deployed here with a platoon from Minnesota.
I know just a little tiny bit of history about you. You became a warrant officer after being an 06, a colonel. Is that correct, sir?
The OPSEC around here isn't very good, huh?
No, apparently not, but it's a pretty good story, sir. And correct me if I'm wrong, you went this route so you could deploy on this mission, is that correct?
I did, yeah. I've been sending people to war for 10 years and wanted to get on that side of the process. This was kind of a good way for me to... I've been in the medevac business now since 1990. I commanded a company back then, and... So it's kind of in my heart, and this was an opportunity I saw out there to deploy and play in Afghanistan with the medevac mission, and that's what I wanted to do. Probably a swan song for me at my end of my career. So, but.
Well, we're birds of a feather because this is my final journey, and I wanted to wrap it up with this particular mission because it's so unique where the Army is supporting the Marines, and it's really good. I would like to... talk briefly about a pretty remarkable event where you were one of the pilots, along with Captain Dew, when there was a Marine that had an RPG embedded into his leg and went up into his extremities here. Could you tell me a little bit about when you first got the call and pick it up from there?
Okay, actually when we left on the mission, we thought we were picking up a small girl who had been injured. We didn't have a lot of information on the injuries, so when we launched, that's what we thought we were expecting to find. When we got to the LZ, actually, it was after we had landed, before we, as we were trying to get information about if the patient was there, and if it was ready for pickup, that was when they started advising us that when the medic saw them bringing this Marine up to the aircraft, which was, I think, the first that we really realized that we had a different situation than what we had launched on.
As you got on scene, you realized, okay, things have changed.
On short final, they, you know, the whole tempo of the LZ picked up. The radio operator was, you know, was pretty... almost seemed frantic, but and I think that's probably what it was for them, because it was changing on the ground. They must have just had this attack while we were en route, and that's when he said the patient has unexploded ordnance in them. Well, we queried that to find out, well, what does that mean? You know, is it just a machine gun bullet, or you know what it was? And then when they told us it was an RPG, it was like how could a small child even have an RPG embedded in them? And well, then that's when the medic saw them coming up with this Marine, carrying this Marine.
So there it is, another unexpected, and now you've got an RPG in a Marine. What's your first thought?
I guess it's probably better that it was happening quickly, because you don't have a lot of time to think about it. I mean, I think the whole tour here, I mean, we've always had that sense of urgency, especially for our fallen Marines here, that, that's why we're here, is to be there for those guys at these points when they're injured, and no matter what the circumstances are, when we get the mission, we don't know when we're going, we don't know where we're going, we don't know what we're going to get when we get there, and so this really, in many ways, wasn't any different than that.
In your entire career, had you ever come across anything like this before?
No, I would say not. No, this the experience here at Eddy is very unique. So I think the intensity here and the types of missions, I think this is certainly some some circumstances that I didn't expect to be in. Expected to have injured soldiers, but yeah, to have that in his leg. But I think it was a very quick decision on the part of the crew that, hey, this is pretty serious, and there isn't going to be a way for this guy to get any better if we wait or refuse to take him or try to get EOD or those types of things. And if it hadn't gone off yet, there is a good chance it wouldn't. And so we agreed pretty quickly to put him on and get out of there, because it was a kinetic situation there at the LZ, and so sitting there wasn't a good idea either. So I think that all those things, just we rapidly came to the decision the right thing to do was to take him and go and get him back here where the medical folks could. They probably weren't real happy with us bringing him to the party, but.
But you guys.
It made it interesting for everybody from that point on, I guess.
But the general consensus, real quickly, among yourself, Captain Dew, Sergeant Hardesty, and Specialist Edens, yeah, we're going to take him. And
it's a U.S. soldier, in this case a Marine. Yep, that's.
Okay, so now I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Captain Dew was the pilot in command, correct?
Yes. Yep.
And. I know you have something, I've been told, over 4,000 hours flight time. So now you're in a really interesting situation. How did the two of you work together on this situation?
Well, I think the whole crew, we talked about doing everything that we needed to do, needed to be done smoothly and deliberately, and no abrupt movements, whether it was, loading them in the aircraft, taking off, to the stuff en route, the treatments en route, and then just doing a real soft landing here at the end. And
I'm going to relate it to something like the fellow that landed on the Hudson River, Sullenberger. I mean, this is a pretty interesting situation. You got to make this landing just right on this one, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess that's a good way to put it.
So here you're coming in, and you've made the landing now, and another part begins. They have to take him off, and you're still running. I don't know what the right term is, but you're still spooled up pretty good. It's not over yet, right?
No. I mean, actually, when we came in here, the tower is right there at the hospital, and so we're right outside the tower, and they pretty much said, you're clear to land, we're out of here, nobody's coming in here until this is solved. And so, there were comments later about that's the smoothest landing they've ever seen a Black Hawk do, I guess, there's plenty of folks watching.
Yeah, you have an audience, and I have heard these comments already, so.
I mean, right away, of course, typically when we bring a patient in that's that serious, I mean, the hospital's running out. Well, there wasn't anybody running out quite yet.
Yeah, nobody's in a hurry now.
And so I think that part of the process, we had to wait a little longer for litter team, and once they came out to handle their stuff real, again, deliberately and carefully, and they kept him outside the hospital initially. And then I know Lieutenant Commander Gennari was, I think, the one that finally came out and kind of administered some drugs to make sure that he was as calm and stable and as possible, so that he as they started to work on him, he didn't flinch or. I'm sure they were concerned about what his reaction would be, or if they start pulling this thing out. But okay. Yeah, so he was outside the hospital for a fair amount of time, and we stayed put until that was all resolved, because we didn't want to be lifting off and rotor wash.
So you didn't reposition?
No.
So you shut it down there, and
we stayed running because actually we already knew somewhere in there we had a follow-on mission, which was to go back and get that, because that girl was still out there, still en route somewhere to the LZ, so we needed to stay running and be ready to go back out to the same LZ.
So immediately thereafter you went to the next mission, no time to really think about all this until the end of the day?
No, yeah, in fact I'd have to look back. I think we were gone a long time that day, because we had We went back. The girl wasn't there. We ended up circling for a pretty good amount of time till they called us off that. And then there was already another mission, another one in the works that we then continued on. Went to Bastion for that. Came back, and then later on that day, then we had to. I think we were able to shut down after that one before we took the guy with the RPG back down to Bastion after they had removed it here. So
we're gonna go to part two here. Stand by.